Parsha Shmini. The first piece of Parsha Shmini is a Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, and the Rambam explains specifically the concept of kapara in Karbanos. So he explains that Kvarzochu Chachom Tamei Yosakorb Yom Hashmini Shal Miluim Egel Ben Boker Lechatos Lechapa Maisa Egel. Chachom specifically said that the reason why an egel ben baka is the chatos is a kapara ma'ase egel. The same thing with chet yom kippurim is ma'ase egel. Lefizeh inyan zachru yirali. So using that chazal, it appears shahatam beyoisach hatos kulam leyachadu letzibur seirim. The reason why soyer is the universal carbon, a chatos is usually a soyer. It's an elema seir regolim seir shachadoshim seir kippurim seir bodezor and so on. Sibas kolel actually, heyos roiv meriam v'chatosam oz bakrivam seirim. Soyer is the general sense of avodah zara. The pasuk says liyizbechu odasivchem seirim Hashem zonim achreihem. The soyer in a lot of different ways represented shedim or saorim was seirim like. The esav is soyer. Soyer represented the chelak harav, the bria. Avodah Zorah was usually a soyer, and klaisol is nimshol to a seh. There is actually a very interesting distinction in terms of the nature of the animals. A seh is a very obedient and compliant animal. An ez, a goat, tends to be sort of chutzpedik, bedafka, menacing, you know, it's got, even though it doesn't actually have any, it doesn't really harm anyone, but goats tend to be very stubborn and not obedient, whereas sheep tend to be obedient, and so on. That's why Kaisel is nimshol to seh, Esav is nimshol to an ez, and so on. So he says, Avach HaChomim Zal. So the first reason, Chazal, the most apparent reason is because most of the various cluster around soyer. Al chachomzal somu tam is kapar sivulom b'sirim. Chazal gave another reason. Bavur shechota das Yisrael kula chet kla Yisrael kula hoye b'sirizim. Remez l'mechir zesh v'atzadik. Shneva b'nyonei v'yishchetu sirizim. That since kla Yisrael sinned with sirizim, because Yosef HaTzadik was sold and the sirizim was used kind of to cover up for it, that was the chet. So the Rambam seems to feel that one might think that's a very light reason. Yeah, 3,000 years ago, Yosef HaTzadik was sold, and they used the Sir Izim for the Gatonis Dam. So that's why we do it. So he says, don't think it's a weak reason. Ki kavonas kol elu hapu'ulos. The reason for the actions that we do with a carbon is to keep impressing on us the fact that we sinned. That I always keep before me the aver I did. So a person needs to keep in mind the aver is done, and the fact that his children and children's children and so on will need kapara for that chet. I want to pause a minute or two and speak a little bit about some of the implications of what he says. Not directly, but just what's latent in the words. First of all, the fact that it's an event that occurred such a long time ago, we have to understand that the ovals to Klal Yisrael are like the genes to a person. For instance, if a person has a tiny scratch somewhere, very, very hard to say that scratch will affect a person. A person has a tiny imperfection someplace. But if a person has a tiny problem in the genes, everything will be affected because the genes are the seed of the person, and everything that's going to come out comes from there. The avos to Klal Yisrael have that type of relationship. Maisa avosim labanim is not just it's a nice thing, sort of, you know, everything's a simon. That's why they're called avos. So whatever traits the Shvatim and Yosef revealed are in us. It's a very, very much part of the core of our personality. And if selling a brother for due to our jealousy is something that happened at the core of our formation when we became Shvatim, then it's part and parcel of us. And we need to remember that it's a weakness that we have. And it's going to express itself in many ways. It expresses itself in Bayis Sheni with the factions that were fighting each other and killing each other, and express itself to Darius to come, the inherent jealousy between the different Shvatim and Klal Yisrael. So, A, understanding that something which happened at the very formation of Klal Yisrael is relevant all the time. The Chet HaEgel, we keep asking ourselves, well, Chet HaEgel, so listen, I mean, how many times do you need to mention and so on? But Chet HaEgel was an extraordinary event. It meant Klal Yisrael, when it became Klal Yisrael, on the night that it became Klal Yisrael, it worshipped Avodah Zarah. There's something extraordinary about it, and it's a floor that goes down to the depths of the collective Neshama of Klal Yisrael. It wasn't just that they happened to do. You're talking about something that's the very, very formation, and therefore you always need to remember it and always root it out. It's a cancer that's very deep in our Neshama, and we need to keep referring to it. Yes?
So really the idea that Hashem won't visit the sins of the fathers onto the children, that would apply more by something that's not as fundamentally sort of sick.
Correct. The Chazal say that it depends if the children are doing a mamshich in their father's averis or not. If a child is mamshich the father's averis, then it means that it's been bred in and it's much tougher. First, let's take an example. Just because a child is born in a disadvantaged home, or let's say in a home that the parents are criminal, doesn't mean he has to be criminal. But if he chooses to become criminal, then the crimes that he commits are really, really entrenched in him, because it's not only his nature, but it's also been his nurture. It's been built into him. It's been the ideas and the feelings that he's been taught and observed and so on, and that's why it's stronger and needs much stronger action to eradicate it. Then he says, the purpose of the karban is to keep putting the chet in front of the person. And it's important to put that in context. The Chazal also point out a stira, you know, whether you're supposed to keep remembering the chatorim you did or not. I think that it simply means a person needs to understand that the chet doesn't go away just by wishing it away, but as long as he bears it in mind and he's doubly careful with himself, then he can go on and do it. If a person sees himself as a hopeless sinner, then he's not going to do anything. Like Acha, where he thought whatever he does, he can't do tshuva, but obviously there was no incentive for him to do tshuva. But when a person does it in a way that he keeps in mind, you know, he just knows and understands that's his weakness, and he needs to keep working on it, then it's beneficial. The Eretzah Bezeh. Now, the Rambam also points out the concept that the kapara, the type of activities you do for kapara should be of a similar nature to the aveira you did. Eretzah Bezeh. Shemyeh meri b'mamon, if a person did aveira with money, yifazim mamon v'avoda. He should spend the money for avodas Hashem. Shemyeh meri b'noz gufo, And if the Aveira was with physical hanos, Yiga Gufoi, he should be ascetic. He should fast, get up at night, and so on and so forth. V'miya Mary V'midam in Amidos, whatever type of activity expressed his Aveira, Yamoy Kinegda Behefech Amidahu. Now, the Rambam points out the concept like he does in Hilchos Deos, as he says himself, Now, if a person does aver, he needs to go to the other extreme. And in the language of the much later ones, the more Kabbalah inclined ones, it's called Tshuvas Hamishkol, which means an equivalent Tshuva. And the understanding, I guess, from a Kabbalah type of view of Tshuvas Hamishkol is you're sort of writing, you know, the world was missing one tainus that didn't fast, you're going to get back a tainus. That's kind of the Ruach Hadvar. But the Rambam means something else. The Rambam, and people make this mistake when they speak about the Rambam's Shita, about what's good and what's bad and so on. The Rambam is always seen as being a protagonist of the golden mean. He does say it's important that a person stick to the balance in Midos and so on. But the Rambam points out something else. If a person is inherently flawed, for instance, let's take something that's something we can all understand. Let's say if a normal person, a drink or two a day is absolutely fine. It might be healthy, a glass of wine or something, and it's good. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with it, and possibly very, very helpful, and so on. And if somebody makes a fetish about never, ever, ever, ever drinking wine, there's something that in that extreme position that we find strange and neurotic or whatever it is. But let's say he's an alcoholic. He's proven that he has a disposition for alcohol, an ability to control, whatever it is. The right thing for him is to cut completely off. The undoing of many attempted reforms of alcoholics is when they think only one drink can harm me. Under normal circumstances, that's absolutely right. It's wrong for that person. If a person has a weakness for women, so the right thing is not, well, a normal person says hello and says this and that. He has to go two steps back. It's the means is not reached when you do the means. It's when your neshama, when your nefesh, is balanced. So a person that can spend money at will and can restrain himself from spending money and makes decisions, conscious decisions each time he spends it and follows through, that's a balanced person. Some things he's quite generous, some things he's cautious, some things he's absolutely not. But a person who is cheap and he does not allow himself to spend any money, he has a sickness of not spending money, needs to push himself to spend money, and vice versa. So when we're talking about the ideal is a person has all the midos and is perfectly capable of using each one, each time, each place, and so on and so forth. But there's a big condition attached to that, and that is the person be completely in control. Every person has weaknesses, and that's why when people come along and complain, well, why are some things also, why do we have why do we go to extremes? A lot of times, a sober analysis situation will say, yes, we do have weaknesses in this area, and we need to compensate for them, and we need to draw back a step or two, because that's how we will get, once we're in control of ourselves, we can reach a happy means, and so on. Now, I'm going to add one more point that's really noteworthy. What about somebody who is in the kefir and apikarsis? What's the issue, and what's his tikkun? So he says something extraordinary. Bimyeh hameri bi'iyu. If a person recognizes avera in the yonim of what we call deos, it's on iloma. Sheyamin das filti amiti. He believes something not true. Lekotze yatzichloi, because he's simply not bright enough. Veisrashim lechakira veisyachad iyun. And he hasn't really thought through things well enough. Yamod kinegda bepines machshavti mikoldo vebinyane olam. He should withdraw from thinking about any system of this world, rak b'muskelavad, v'dikteik b'mashetzorech shalom b'emes, and he'll be medakteik in those things that he really needs to believe in, ka'omroi b'yofetz b'seis alibi v'atashikad lefi, v'moshel ala hefzik v'amidetz ha'sofik. It's a moshel for somebody really devoting his time and effort on sveikis, k'moshibana v'tchulot z'amayimah. Okay, and then he goes back and says that that's why Aaron had to bring a carbon that was an eagle, so on and so forth. But I like to focus on this point a minute. The Rambam's point is always, and many approaches are that the reason why we come to Kfira is because the Seichel can't understand everything, and Amuna has to take the place of Seichel. The Rambam has a very different approach, and a certain way much more demanding. The Rambam says everything that we're supposed to believe is capable of being understood by the Seichel. But it's true only if our Seichel is well developed, and if we plug at it to the umpteenth. The fault of a person who has false shitas and deis is that the person has taken it too lightly. The Rambam, if you read the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, the beginning, second paragraph, I think, where he responds to the person that asks him about Bechira, coming with the eating of Eitz Hadas, and how is it possible? The Rambam has an extraordinary response. The question Ram feels is a very, very good question, very in need of a response, but he prefaces it by telling the person, you can't treat Torah like you treat anything else, that in your spare time, you know, between your eating, drinking, and living with your wife, you decide to dabble in philosophy as well. The Rambam's point, I guess, would be a person is chote in apikarsis not because he shouldn't be thinking about it, but because he's not thinking enough, and the person was misrational about Hashem by, and that's why he came to apikarsis and so on. A very, very interesting approach to the Rambam here. Okay, the next piece is going to be Arbeinu Bechaya. And the Rabbeinu, yes.
The Rambam is not saying you should, is the Rambam saying you should consider what you're thinking about more, or should you think more about what the Torah has to say?
Well, the Rambam when he speaks about Losa Surah Echavafim Echenechem, that you're not allowed to study certain areas, you know, Sifra Avodas Kochavim and so on. The Rambam's point is, it's not because we're afraid of the truth. Obviously, if it's not true, it's not true, and if it's true, it's true. There's no two ways about it. But the Rambam says, the assumption of a person is based on two arrogant assumptions. One is, I am smart enough to understand it, and the second one is, I've thought about it to the fullest extent of my brilliance, and this is my conclusion. So, as the Rambam says, a person doesn't think that he has the seichel and the das. There's a certain humility in a person. A person should first of all question, maybe I just don't have the mind to understand it. And secondly, the person needs to give it a tremendous amount of thought and yigia, and it's hard to say that a person can say about himself, listen, I've given it all the yigia, and this is what I think. In halacha, we have no choice. A person has to do certain things, so a person is maimik in halacha as much as he can, but for a person to be kovei and deis opposite of what it says, based on his seichel, is there's a certain presumptuousness, both about the level of das that he has, his ability to deal with this issue, and secondly, the level of yigiyah needed to understand the Avodas Hashem. Exactly like he writes for this person, and it's fascinating, that tshuva of the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, because he's saying that the person's point is a very, very important point, and it's a point that's really, it merits discussion and thought, but he felt that the attitude of the person was sitting back with his feet on the desk and a cigar in his mouth, kind of. And that's what he's asking. So that's not the way to approach the Far Hashem. The Hashem requires a tremendous humility and tremendous yigiyah.
So the Iyan should be into the Torah,
right?
And
right.
Not into being Sosa.
Exactly. If a person were to write, right. That's the okay. The next one is a Rabbeinu Bechaya, and he speaks here about the Inyan of Shmini. It says Beyom Shmini Kor Moshe Aaron Ravonos Yisrael. It's the parsha is called Shmini. It's the Yom Shmini. Chinuch Kehuna Gdolu Beyom Shmini Kol Otam Acher. He goes through the reasons why it was on the eighth day. Vehu, he says, Shemotzinu Sherov Inyanei Hamishkan VaMikdash Soiv Malchash Mishmaina. You see that many things about the Mishkan and the Mikdash have the number 8. Bigdei Kohen Gadol is 8, Tzitz Chosh and so on. Boismei Shemen HaMishcha VaKtorah, so Yigan Keshmona, the spices for Shemen HaKtorah were 8. Shemishcha had 4, Keshmona had 4. The Badim, there were 8 Badim. Shnei Badim Oren, Shtayim Lashtokh, Shtayim Lashtokh, Shtayim Lashtokh, Shtayim Lashtokh, Shtayim Lashtokh, Korbanu Shem Akrib Lofsu Korek Nachshmona Yom, 8 days. Hushakosim Yom HaShini V'Holo Yerotze. There were 8 different types of klizemer. So the Rambam points out that Rabbeinu Bechaya points out everything is of eights and eights and eights and eights. That's what the Mishnah is all about. I want to talk a little bit about this eights. Like always, Rimazim in themselves are exactly what they're called. They're called Rimazim. They're not in itself the explanation. They're just a hint for something. I'd like to try to explain it a little bit. The Pashta understanding, the way it's normally given, is 7 is Teva, 8 is above Teva, and just the word above Teva just simply means just like 8 is better than 7, so too is more than Teva better than Teva. Kind of that's about it. It's the 8 is always the Al Teva, and the 7 is Teva. 7 being Teva is the 7 days of the week. That's the natural cycle of creation, and 8 is beyond that. That's like the way that Aristotle's book was called Metaphysics. Simply was the book after physics. This is sort of Meta 7, and that's it. I'd like to explain it a little bit better than that. When we speak about the natural world and the supernatural world, one is bigger, one is better, one is nicer, is not really the full explanation of it. When I define two objects as one being bigger than the other, more than anything else, when I make that, when I compare two numbers and I say number 9 is bigger than number 7, if I say that Y is bigger than X, what information does it give me? Well, the only information that it really gives me is that X will fit into Y. If we're talking about apples, if there are 7 apples requested out of 9, I can take the 7 out of the 9. If we're talking about a circle, one has a diameter of 7, one has a diameter of 8, the 7 will fit into the 8. In other words, the small one is always a subset of the big one. That's the only real information I have. That which is smaller fits in that which is bigger. There was one exception to that, and that was the Beis Hamikdash in the Aron. Other than that, that is the most basic definition. Everything else is possible, but we're talking primarily about which is a subset of the other. 7 is a subset of 9. 9 is not a subset of 7. There are two ways of looking at the natural, quote-unquote, and supernatural worlds, quote-unquote, meaning the following. Strip away the word natural and the word supernatural. We'll talk about natural is the world that's tangible, sensed by us, experienced by us, and so on. And the supernatural is the world that is not. A person can say the following. The world, the reality of the world, the universe is a physical reality. Within the confines of that physical reality, we have poetry, we have religion, we have different thoughts of people, it is a subset of that world. One of the elements of the world is poetry. It may not be physical, it may not be tangible, but a world without poetry is imaginable. Poetry without a world is not imaginable. That I think, you know, everyone would say, if the world were to exist and poetry, if poetry were not to exist, the world could still exist. Some people might feel a little better. On the other hand, if the world did not exist, poetry could not exist. Poetry is a subset of the world. So one way of looking at religion, even God, in a mind of a more simple person is, there's a great world around. I guess a Western liberal person, not even a simple person, would say, the world is reality. Religion is a subset of that reality. It's a high point. It's a special noble point. It's whatever it is. There's a different way of looking at it, and that is, there's a grand world of Ruchnius, of which our world is a subset. It's within that world, and it's a certain aspect of a much larger Ruchnius Metzius. So just like two apples and the four apples you get out of it is an example of 2 and 3 equals 4. Mathematics is the larger world and the apples are the more specific world. So too, the world that we have, tefillin is one example of a certain Ruchnius, and it's another example, so on and so forth. And everything in the world is sort of a case, a specific case of a much larger idea. That is the meaning of that relationship of 7 to 8. It's the difference between 7 and 8. It's not 8 is better, bigger, it's not better, nicer, whatever. 8 cannot fit into 7. In other words, if a person will ask this question, how can the spiritual enhance my physical life, the answer would be sometimes possibly, but there's no way I can stuff the entire Ruchnistic world and make it part of the physical world. There are many mitzvahs that make life difficult. It is no way to pack it into the confines of the world of 7. Some mitzvahs take a toll that may, quote unquote, not be worth it in physical terms. Some mitzvahs don't even relate to it. They just don't. Paraduma doesn't even pass through the world. It never touches reality in a certain sense. So when we have a system of 7s and a system of 8s, the system of 7s is our world. The system of 8s is the spiritual world, meaning that our world, the physical world, is a subset of a spiritual world, not vice versa. There was one place in this world where it was possible to have a sense of that reality. And that was in the Mishkan / Beis HaMikdash. So in the Mishkan Beis HaMikdash, we have a certain reality of meta-world, which is, in a sense, the true reality. So that's why everything came in eights, because it's part of the world where there are eights. It's something which is a bigger world, and this is a more specific it's a subset of that world.
Right.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, are you talking about there also about how there are times when all Klal Yisrael would fit into the courtyard there?
That was one of the manifestations. But the whole, a world that revolves around Avodah and Karbonis. Now the world revolves around a lot of secular activities, but we dedicate part of it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a world that completely revolves around these activities.
Uh-huh.
One more Rabbi Nechaya. So Rabbi Nechaya points out here, he speaks about Rashi, and Rashi says that Yom HaShmini was a Chodesh, it took many Ataros, not Asar Ataros. He brings many, many more things than Asara. all sorts of things. Rishon l'shnas teis Mitzrayim, Kuhnas Aaron, Rishon l'karbonis, the Rishon spoke about Beres Karn, Rishon l'rishasayish, and so on and so forth. A whole slew of things. I'd like to just explain the point of it. The morale speaks about since. Let's go back to one thing before. I'm sorry. I just want to finish the thought before. We are in middle of Sfiras HaOmer now. Sfiras HaOmer also has that type of relationship. 49 days is it's a function of seven sevens. Torah is given on the 50th day. Very, very strange arrangement. We count 49 days. There's one day we don't count, and the 50th day. So, like Manavshach, what's the point of it? And it's like somebody, you walk in for a prescription, and the guy weighs and measures carefully all the different, you know, you need exactly, 300 milligrams or something, and he weighs out 250 milligram and 50 milligram increments, and the last 50 milligrams he just tosses in and says it's approximately okay. What's the shot? We're counting 7 times 7, and then we go to 50th day. And it's pretty much the same idea. In getting the Torah, there is an element of avoda from a person. We're required to make ourselves ready to make ourselves a kli for Torah and so on, and a lot of it has to do with a person's own avoda. And that's 7 times 7. And Mem Chesaron Shatara Niknavem, plus the 49th, the Kalal of it all. All of those are Nageya Tavodas Adam, and that's why it fits into 7 times 7. The 50th, but Torah is not just the product of man's efforts. Torah is bigger than that. It's a prerequisite that we do Avoda, and that Avoda is defined as sevens, but when it's given beyond the seven, it's given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, and it doesn't fall within the framework of seven. So we have both the 7 times 7 and the 50th of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's true about the system of Shemitahs and Yovlos. Shemitahs and Yovlos, same thing, you have 7 times 7, and then you have a 50th year. The 7 times 7 is where we come in. The 50th is a very different system. Shemitah is something that shayach to us. Yovel is afkata, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mafki. Everything, all human efforts get undone in the 50th year. All the kinyanim we've made, all the avadim, we were matzea, it's something, the 50th represents not, l'mashal, on Shemitah I have a chiyuv to forego loans. On Yovel, all the kinyanim I've ever made fall apart. Any land that I bought goes back to its rightful owner, any avodim that I've had la'olam, that finishes it. You know, the human grasp goes till 50, 7 by times 7 is all that humans can do, and the 50th is mufka. Same scale of 7s and 8s. Okay, let's get back to that. Rabbi Bechai, I'm sorry I interrupted. So Rabbi Bechai speaks about the first, that there are many firsts, and this is the first. Moral says, when he speaks about Achodesh Zelechem Rishon Hulachot Shehashana. So the Maral points out, I'm a little bit adding to Maral, but this is the kavanah of what he says. It's strange the way the pasuk is arranged. So Achodesh Zelechem Rishon Hulachot Shehashana, Rosh Chodashim Rishon Hulachot Shehashana, it's the first month, and then it goes straight on to Mishkuku and so on. There shouldn't be, in other words, there should be two parshas. One parsha is Kiddush HaChodesh, that's very nice, and then there's a second parsha. Now that you have a month system, let's mark our first holiday. It's going to be Tesvav Yudalad Nissen, and so on and so forth. The term merges as one parsha. This Chodesh is the first Rosh Chodashim, bring a Korban Pesach. It is two separate things, because the parish of Kiddush HaChodesh and the system Chodashim is relevant for Chodesh HaShvi and Chodesh HaChi and Chodesh HaDes and Chodesh HaDev. It's relevant for everything else. So the Maral explains it doesn't quite frame the question, but it's what he's saying, that the first month, Pesach coming out on Nisan, on the first month, is not just a mikra, that you know this was the right time for it. The first month is the appropriate month for Geula, because Geula is a type of beginning. It has a certain beginning to it that makes it unfettered to the past. In other words, just like we define Brias HaOlam as being an act of creation, Yesh Me'ayin. Now, Yesh Me'ayin, forget about how that can happen. It's not something that humanly we can really sort of picture. But the one thing that we can say is, it's not connected with anything that was there before. When a person wants to look into the world and see the cause and effect, one needs to go back 5,700 years ago, and that's that. One does not need to go back before that, because anything that was there before that doesn't affect the world. That's what the concept of first means. The first is something that is not the product of anything that was there before. That defines something as first. Anything afterwards is a result of this. It could have been influenced by this. You know, when a person is a leader and he's the first, he's mashpia on other people to follow, all sorts of things of that nature. So Brias HaOlam is the first month, and Geula, which is a Bria within the world, Geula means that it's possible for a person to stop and not be affected by that which was there before. It's close to tshuva. Tshuva is called Geula. It's tshuva is maybe Geula LaOlam. Tshuva like Yigalticha. The tshuva and Geula. Geula is the aspect of being unencumbered by that which was there before. So all the types of things that were firsts, things that sort of start Yesh Me'ayin, like Kohuna, Mishkan, all new beginnings, things that have it in themselves, Prophet Yesh Me'ayin, Eish Min HaShemayim. Eish Min HaShemayim means that the Eish is not a result of the wood, it's not a result of the fuel the person put, anything of that nature. Those are all things that are called Rishon. And that's why the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, anything that was Rishon, that Chazal defined as Rishon, is appropriate to happen on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And that's the Machlokas Nigmar, where the world was created on Tishrei or Nisan, because both of them have themselves elements of beginning, because by definition, that which is Rishon, the first month does not need, in order for there to be a first month, it does not need for any month to have been there before. It's irrelevant, better said, what existed before, because this is first. Okay, so Chag Kasher Sameach, it is Pesach, and Hashem, next week we'll continue.